kwakuwankwamnyako nauvuku naundukufu ata milele.
Broadcasting from high above the reserve, this is Radio Harambe. Jambo, everyone, and welcome to yet another episode of Radio Harambe, the companion podcast to our website, jamboeveryone.com. I am Dave McBride, broadcasting, as always, from the Radio Harambe studios. And joining me from somewhere in the world, a man who seems to be oddly addicted to the My Disney Whatever app, it's Safari Mike. Mike, how are you?
Jambo, Dave. I'm forced to be addicted to as I'm constantly on the phone with internet help desk trying to fix it, so... It's really not an addiction, more so of an aggravation.
I spent the afternoon fighting with it myself, so.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Don't worry. Your daughters, Anna and... I never remember the
Elsa.
Name. Elsa. Anna and Elsa's fast pass is still there from what
I'm I'm constantly reminded that it's Anna and Elsa, not Anna.
Anna. I always call her Annie, so what do I know? on today's show, we're going to go... First, Mike, where are you calling us from?
Oh, Dave, I'm at the Parc National de Waza.
Waza! National de Waza. That D, like D-E?
Yep.
Nacional sounds Spanish, Hispanic of some kind. I'm thinking South America.
I'm in Cameroon. Just south of Lake Chad, we are studying the pangolin. Do you know what a pangolin is?
No, but why is Nacional from Cameroon? What language do they speak in Cameroon?
It's French.
Oh, no. Yeah, the D-E. Yep, day. Yeah, wouldn't have been Nacional D if it were Spanish. I don't know what it is.
It is, well, picture basically a giant walking artichoke or perhaps a meter-long ant-eating pine cone. It is a ground animal. It is actually the only warm-blooded animal, i.e. not a fish or a reptile, that is completely covered in scales. And it walks around and
really?
Eats ants. It's related to the anteater. It's got big, long claws and a big, long tongue. And it goes around digging up ant holes and eating ants.
It is
threatened because it is it's popular in parts of Africa. Parts of they're used to in witchcraft. And it is also there's a thriving market for it in China and the Far East as food and for... as we all, you know, commonly know, medicinal purposes.
Yeah, that's always the reason.
Yep, always.
Since I'm completely unfamiliar with it, is it indigenous to a very small area or something?
No, it's widespread through most of South Africa. There are actually five different kinds of pangolins. The one we're studying here is the ground pangolin. It kind of looks like, do you know what an aardvark looks like?
Yeah.
Picture that, except covered completely in brown scales.
I have to look this up. This is fascinating. How do you spell it?
P-A-N-G-O-L-I-N.
Okay, I will make a note of that. On today's show, we will discuss all of the news from Disney's Animal Kingdom. Mike will have the world news from the rest of Walt Disney World. And then in our final segment, both of us are going to take a little nostalgic look back at 2 years of JamboEveryone.com. Let me begin with the local news, and this is very local, actually. We just wanted to make a quick announcement about that very website, JamboEveryone.com. This week... we debuted a new series from our friend in South Africa. Her name's Aruna Mohan. I hope I'm saying that right. It could be Mohan. It's called Aruna's Real Africa and will feature stories and images from Africa. So check out the blog and see some of the stunning photos. It's part of the new series. We published some great photos of lions and elephants to celebrate the World Lion and World Elephant Day. Those are the last couple of days. Just the last couple of days we posted that. We're recording this on a Monday. Let me say this. I've previewed some of the images that she's going to bring to us, and they are incredible. So she's going to tell us about Africa, the real safari. She's also, like Mike, been a docent at a zoo. I believe it was in the Netherlands. So this is a another well-traveled member of the Jumbo Everyone family who will be offering a lot more intelligent content than I could ever possibly bring anyone. Mike, did you get a chance to see the pictures of the elephants today?
Oh, of course. Of course.
One of them was just a stunner. And I picked two or three out of a couple of dozen, it felt like. I mean, they're one more beautiful than the other. So
I like the baby.
Yeah, yeah. So check this out. She's actually in South Africa. She's been on safari a few times. She goes to Kruger National Park quite a bit. She's also had some other wildlife experiences that are really amazing. There's going to be sort of, probably by the time you hear this, you'll go not only see those images from Lion Day and Elephant Day, you'll also see, I plan on putting sort of an introduction piece that she wrote for us too, so you'll get to see that soon as well. So on with the news from the animal kingdom itself. This was kind of depressing, because It's Tough to Be a Bug is getting a little more of a makeover than once expected. It was originally scheduled to be open by now. Mike and I are scheduled to be there in a matter of a few days, but now it seems that it won't reopen again until September 28th, which honestly really sucks. So, and this came out of nowhere, I think. I mean, just all of a sudden popped up that it's getting an extra 6 weeks. I mean, almost doubling the time that it was set to be down.
Yeah, I mean, the attraction itself could use a little sprucing up, mostly the auto-animatronic hopper, which continually breaks down. So hopefully That's getting a once-over. And I don't even know if this really relates to so much as the It's Tough to Be a Bug as perhaps even more related to all the work they're doing around the Tree of Life. So If you see pictures going around the internet of the Tree of Life, they're actually doing a lot of work on the tree itself. Which, you know, if they're in the middle of the work, they probably don't want people walking around underneath there if they can avoid it. So maybe that has to some degree to do with the extended refurb. But, you know, refurbs happen. It's not that big of a deal.
I love this concept of the sort of interactive theater with the animatronics and all that, you know, used in Muppet Vision. And I think really sort of improved upon Muppet Vision here at Tough to Be a Bug. I love that. That movie, I love that attraction. I just I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I love hearing people getting all screaming over the you know, the bugs running behind you and all that kind of stuff. I just love it. So I was planning on going. It is going to be missed. But in the realm of some good news, Looks like last week we got wind of an interesting and somewhat I would call exciting rumor. It comes from the website www.themeparks.com. They are reporting, Mike, that we may finally see a fix to the famous Yeti audio animatronic at Expedition Everest right after the opening of Pandora in 2017. That is not much of a very interesting. We all kind of assume that's when it would happen. But the interesting thing in this rumor that we're reading is that it may not be a fix. It may be a swap, a replacement, all new Yeti.
Right. And maybe a less... I don't know, what's the best word for it? A less technologically advanced one, more than one that doesn't really require as much, you know, power and or you know, if it's not working, difficulty to get to.
And not as heavy.
And not as heavy.
I mean, think, too.
Yeah, because, what you hear is the real problem with the attraction now is it's actually, the Yeti is sort of almost built in its own mountain within the mountain itself. And to actually get to it and fix it is really a major, major ordeal, which is why they haven't done it.
Right.
And maybe they'll fix the fact that if it does break down in the future, it won't be such a big, big deal to fix it.
The information that I've been given a few times is that, and I've heard a few times, is that that the movement of the Yeti itself is so powerful, is actually shaking the foundations.
Yeah, I heard it crack the base.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, so the idea of fixing it in its current form wasn't really, it was a non-starter. So I think they designed an incredible Yeti here. It would be really cool if they could somehow remove that and use that some other place that isn't, you know, because it is just off the hook amazing in its power and stuff. But if they were to replace it with a smaller Yeti, you know, one that kind of fits the description of the cryptozoological animal that, you know, is, it's not, you know, it's not a 25-foot tall animal in you know, in the Himalayas. It wouldn't really hurt if they, you know, replaced it with something like that. It's going to be sad to see it go. I like I said, I just hope it's not scrapped. I don't know what they could possibly do with it. They're probably going to have to disassemble just to take it down. But man, you know, that was a big investment that kind of went wrong. And, you know, I always think about that as being the investment that went really, really wrong. That was until the My Magic Plus thing came out. Now it doesn't seem that big of an investment. That's good.
Yeah, right. Let's not talk about that. Positive thoughts. Our trip is only, you know, less than a week away. Positive thoughts.
Okay, well, I won't get into it. But I've had, I had a day with it today.
What happened today?
Well, you guys are going. I'm only going to be at the Walt Disney World for a few days, as I've said a couple times on here. And I'm only going to be actually able to tour the parks for 4 days, and I'm not going to spend any of that time at the Hollywood Studios. You guys and your family and the rest of the party wants to go see the studios. Totally understand that. So I figured I would take a day where I would go to the Animal Kingdom by myself. I like to do the safari a couple of times, take plenty of pictures, you know, kind of. And, you know, I'm going to need to get in there and just take a day of photographing. Always do that when I'm there, just really for the blog more than anything else. But and then it usually starts with a 3 or 4 hours of photographing, followed by 2 or 3 hours at the Dawa Bar. But that's neither here nor there. But I was trying to change your Hollywood Studios fast passes to something over there, and this just took all day. I mean, every time I would try to make a change of some kind, it would just freeze. The app would just freeze up entirely. So I would go over to the website and try to log in, and it wouldn't let me log in because it still thinks I'm logged in on my app on the phone. So it was saying this user's already logged in, and it was like, I mean, I just got caught in this 1990s era warp of computer nonsense.
That you should have called the internet help desk.
Mike,
I have their number.
I'm sure on speed dial. I'm sure
you could just tell them I told you to call.
I will. That's good advice. That's good advice for the future.
I'm like Norm from Cheers there now.
Yeah, I'm sure. let's do another rumor. Speaking of rumors, the website's, I think it's Stitch Kingdom. Correct, Mike?
Correct.
Is they're reporting that Disney has filed a, in quotes, notice of commencement for Kilimanjaro Safari Night Experience electric upgrades.
That's actually notice of commencement, if my understanding is correct, is something you have to file with the EPA, I believe, for when you're doing stuff like this. But go ahead.
Well, that's, I was just going to say, that's all we know. That's all we have. That's the whole rumor, is that there's a notice of commencement that work is beginning for electrical upgrades, which I'm assuming is going to mean some sort of electrical changes to the vehicles or even lights on the Savannah.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could it be?
Right. Right. Who knows what they're doing?
some sort of night vision things, or I don't even know how you would do that. You know, I can't see them handing out night vision goggles to people.
Right.
I really
right.
can't see that. So it'll be interesting to see where we go from there. But there's not much information there, but that just sort of broke today, and we're seeing where we're going from there. Finally, on JomboEveryone.com this week, we got some exciting animal news for the Animal Kingdom. It appears that the park will welcome 3 spotted hyenas in the not-too-distant future. These animals are from the only captive hyena research colony in the world, which has been at the University of California, Berkeley for the past 30 years. Well, funding for the colonies run out. And now the people who have really cared for these hyenas for decades have been trying to find new homes for them, which is how these 3 end up at Disney's Animal Kingdom. I don't have any information as to when they are going to arrive on stage or when they're even going to arrive at the park. The only thing I know that I've been told point blank is that this arrangement has been made. 3 of this colony, which is I would think 15 or something. I can't remember the number, but there's there's a few more than that. There's kind of being scattered through zoos and things all throughout the world, I guess. But Disney is taking 3 of them. So this is kind of exciting news.
I wonder why they're taking 3.
Well, that's what leads me to believe that there is probably a plan for where it would go already. You know.
Oh, I was making a joke because, of course, the Lion King has three hyenas.
Bad joke.
Well, it's not really a joke. I mean, is Disney doing it specifically because this movie has three hyenas? So they're going to take three hyenas.
Well, they had dozens of hyenas, but I get what you're saying.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah,
Mike, everybody who reads the blog knows I kind of laid into Disney a little bit this week for the way in which the Lion King has kind of added to this misconception surrounding the hyenas.
Right.
And believe me when I tell you I went easy on them, that there is a lot more criticism that can be thrown their way in this particular story.
Might get to it someday.
Maybe someday. But the Lion King certainly... You know, these kind of things, as weird as this sounds, these kind of things affect how easy it is for people to get funding for these research projects. Every year on my Facebook page, I go crazy about Shark Week on the Discovery Channel because sharks are under siege.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we get Shark Week where we're sort of reliving the nonsense of Jaws. Right, and scaring the heck out of everybody about sharks.
Right, because for every show that, I mean, if you watch Shark Week, there are plenty of the that are actual documentaries that talk about how important sharks are and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But for every one of those, there is a special about, you know, pretend megalodon, you know, or something like that.
And it's also the way, to me, my point more is the way it's marketed.
Oh, sure.
And that's really what Disney does to hyenas in The Lion King, as weird as that sounds. Now, imagine you're a rich person who wants to make a donation to some sort of animal conservation, but your kids think of the hyenas as the people who are trying to kill Simba.
Right.
So how easy is it to make that donation? And what we don't, and Mike, I want you to talk just a second about hyenas and why, you know, these animals really are remarkable, really do need to be studied, and really do need to be conserved.
Well, I mean, there are an apex predator on the Serengeti in Africa. So just by that token itself, they are vital to the ecosystem itself. I mean, they are, you know, a lot of people think that they're sort of scavengers and they don't really, you know, they just walk around and laugh and then, you know, grab food from lions and stuff like that. But the truth of the matter is actually, that's a myth, and that it's hyenas more so than even the lions who may get the prey, and the lions who steal from the hyenas. You know, scientists would wake up in the morning and see lions eating as some sort of animal, whatever, a zebra or whatever, and see all these hyenas walking around behind them waiting to get, you know, scavenge the animal. But more times than not, actually, the hyenas in the middle of the night took the animal and the lions came in and took them away from the hyena. And the hyenas are hanging around kind of ticked off that the lions came in and took their food. Not to say that hyenas are not, you know, prone to scavenge. I mean, their jaws are incredibly powerful. They could break bones. You know, they're fascinating animals in terms of their social structure. They're female-dominated animals.
Right.
In fact, you know, not to get too graphic, but you can't tell a male from a female because the female parts on hyenas look like male parts.
Because of the high hormonal level.
They're fascinating animals. So, you know, they're important to conserve, absolutely.
So it's exciting. I love new animal news. We talked about the tigers coming. Mm-hmm. We're still waiting to see them, right? And we're
They're not out yet. The Sumatrans, correct?
Right. So now we're going to have some hyenas that may make it. I'm fascinated to see where they're going to end up. I don't even know, where would you put them, Mike? I mean, could they go? They'd have to go on the safari somewhere. Maybe they'd find a place in
Pangani.
Yeah.
Like a smaller, or even... They'd have to create an area. There's not really one there. But, I mean, they're close to the... I mean, there's the hippos there, and there's like a little... I mean, there's probably a spot there where you could put them. I mean, to be frank, I mean, I've walked behind the hippo exhibit and all that kind of stuff on the Wild Africa Trek. You actually walk through the Pangani, and then right after the hippos, you sort of go off the path and just walk through the woods to get to the exhibit, the hippo exhibit, and to go the other side. there's a lot of space actually there that, right. that's not currently being used except for people the walking the Wild Africa Trek. And I think that could easily be, you know, they could easily be redirected somewhere else. So, I mean, there's space along the area for sure.
There's also at least one kind of smaller isolated savanna at Kidani Village that they could use as well. They can move some of their herding animals to other places and put them there if they wanted to, you know, put them in the, you know, have a new wow factor at the lodge.
I mean, unless they were only going to be on during the day, I would suspect that they would not do that just because, I mean, they are predators. And you're talking about, it's a lot harder to keep tabs on the people there than it is in an exhibit, for example, off the Kilimanjaro Safaris, for example.
Good point. That's why there's no predators there, I guess.
Yeah, there aren't any, yeah. I mean, that's just because, I mean, they just don't want to have to have that kind of supervision that you would get somewhere else. And the level of the exhibit design and protection away from the animals, it's a lot easier to, I mean, there really is not that much preventing you from getting into the exhibits on the Animal Kingdom Lodge, other than the fact that you're going to get thrown off a Disney property for the rest of your life if you try to do that. But
right,
you're not really going to risk anything to the animals or yourself, really. But that's not the case if you have hyenas out there.
Right. The reason why it comes to mind is because I wonder how domesticated these particular hyenas are, because they've never, I would assume they've never hunted their own food. They, you know, they've grown up in a captive situation. But I'm making a lot of assumptions. I don't know what that situation was really like, so who knows?
Sure. I mean, they're still dangerous, though. But I mean,
yeah,
hyenas can get pretty domesticated. There are places in Africa where hyenas actually come into town and take food from people, and they feed them right there in the middle of towns. So, you know, they can be somewhat docile, but there's no way Disney insurance and lawyers are going to allow.
No, you're right.
Allow that, I don't think.
Right. Well, that's I can't wait to see it. That's it for the world news. Don't go anywhere, folks. We have I'm sorry, that's it for the local news. Don't go anywhere. We're going to have some world news coming up with Safari Mike in just a second, so stay tuned.
Come on, gang. Let's take it home.
If you're like me, you're an Animal Kingdom fan who is just a bit tired of listening to so-called Disney experts who criticize our beloved park for being a, quote, half-day park. Well, it's time to put your frustrations into action by going to the Jumbo Everyone store at Zazzle.com/JumboEveryone and picking up one of our exclusive new Not a Half-Day Park t-shirts. They look great, and we will donate 50% of the profits to our conservation partners. The rest of it will go to helping keep Radio Harambe on the air and JomboEveryone.com on the web. Wear it the next time you visit the parks, or even better, the next time you attend a Disney fan meetup. Go to Zazzle.com/JomboEveryone today and wear your Animal Kingdom pride for all to see. Welcome back to Radio Harambe. It is time once again for the world news, and as always, our world traveler, Safari Mike. Mike, what is in the news today? Are we starting with Annie?
Dave, today we're going to go to new-ish Fantasyland, as well as the United Kingdom, but let's first talk about the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Disney and Pandora have announced a new deal. It will include a line of jewelry featuring Disney characters, but perhaps most importantly for the purposes of this podcast, it is also means a new sponsorship for Wishes, the, of course, show, night-capping show at the Magic Kingdom. No clue if there will be a change to the show, no idea as to what this will mean other than, you know, on printed material, say, sponsored by Pandora.
Right.
But that apparently is coming.
Okay, well, I think everybody who first read this thought they meant Pandora. As far as the Avatar goes, at least that's what I did. But
I would assume everybody but Jamie Brantner from the Disney Hipsters, who knows right. full well the Pandora, the jewelry company.
Right. But Mike, don't you, when you read things like this, doesn't your memory cast fondly back to the days when a corporate sponsorship for the park meant something new and exciting? Coming to the parks, you know what I mean?
Right.
Now what does it mean? It means more merchandise that's overpriced and a sponsorship for something that has been there for years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's how things have changed.
Yeah, I don't think they'll... I can't imagine they'll change it too much.
Oh, I can't. People have an attachment to wishes.
It's fine.
It's going to have to leave eventually. We've been saying that about Illuminations too, but they even changed that. Wishes is going to have to go away sooner or later and be replaced with something that includes Annie and Elsie or whatever their names are, right? I mean, eventually they're going to have to put it into everything. So, or if there's another hit like that, they're going to have to do that too. You know, they're going to have to make a change. They're going to eventually do that. So, and people are not going to be happy about that. I personally am ambivalent with Wishes. I could take it or leave it.
Yeah, I don't really stay. I mean, Illuminations, I usually make it a point to see once, at least twice.
Yep.
I don't really care about Wishes. I've long given up on Fantasmic as being a thing for me. If I'm there, I'll watch Wishes. That's fine. But it's not something I make sure I do.
Right.
Having said that, Hollowishes at the Halloween party was fantastic. But, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, Fantasmic is one of those things that's just been killed by budget cuts and all that kind of stuff. Like
it does need help. Fantasmic needs a redo. I mean, they're talking about Illuminations getting changed, according to Jim Hill, anyway.
Right.
But Fantasmic, that's really the one that they really need to get rid of that Pocahontas scene, and it's just getting long in the tooth, and it really needs that. I mean, Wishes is just straight up fireworks with music.
Right.
There's nothing, and same thing kind of with Illuminations, except for the globe in the middle. But Fantasmic's much more of a story, and they need to do something with that.
Yeah, Illuminations is, it's all centered around the turn of the millennium, the current mm-hmm. Illuminations. And
true.
The whole story kind of even still feels that way. I mean, it's sort of, it has that sort of, birth of the planet kind of thing happening mm-hmm. in the beginning and all that stuff. So it could use an update, but it doesn't have to be a big one. I mean, the music can stay relatively the same. You just got to kind of change some of the way and, the order in which things happen and some of the graphics on the big globe, which is easier said than done, I'm sure.
The one thing I would do with the Illuminations is maybe a little bit less the big globe.
When
the focus of the show, that drags on a little bit too
much. It does, and it's hard to see.
Yeah.
You don't really get the idea of what's going on. Yeah. Right. I mean... Listen, Illuminations is another one of those things at Epcot that used to be a lot better. I'm sorry. It used to be a lot better. I like this version of it. I love it. And this is why I say this about Epcot all the time. There are still lots of great things in Epcot, and there are some things that are good. But in most cases, they used to be a little bit better. And I used to love the old Illuminations with the different countries and the celebration of each music of the countries. I mean, that was really kind of a... that particular show really capped off your day at the World Showcase. This really doesn't. I mean, this doesn't really have any kind of connection between this sort of country culture thing. You don't get that feeling anymore with this story, And that's what needs to be kind of, I like I said, used to be better, but still good.
All right.
As I alienate more Epcot fans.
How about we go to Be Our Guest?
Okay.
It's
I know what it is, it's a restaurant.
At Magic Kingdom in the newer-ish Fantasyland. For a while now, hotel guests have been able to get a Fast Pass Plus to get lunch there. Obviously, for everybody knows, lunch is counter service and dinner is sit-down. But now, if you show up without a Fast Pass Plus, and if you're not a resort guest, that's the only way you could do it, you will get a time ticket from a cast member to come back at a certain time to get your lunch. Obviously, as we all know, there have been crazy lines for lunch, although I've heard it's been getting a little bit better, but this is a new way for Disney to sort of, quiet down the lunch or big lines. They've been doing it with Anna and Elsa at Magic Kingdom. They've also been doing it with Soarin', and that is going back to the paper tickets. In this case, for Be Our Guest Lunch. It's not a bad idea, but that's what they're doing.
Mike, I wonder if, you know, after however long this has been open, I mean, you kind of have your pulse a little bit more on the Disney community than I do, especially, you know, with the people who go there a lot. There's these still these big lines. I mean, does the Disney fanatic love this restaurant for lunch?
I would say no.
So where are the lines coming from?
I mean, well, they love the look of it. I mean, it's, you know, people love how it looks.
Right.
Most people who have eat there, at least most people I've talked to, who are not just pure, you know, everything Disney does is gold, will tell you that the food is, you know,
right.
It's okay.
That's what I always hear, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I mean, we're having dinner there. Not you, but we are.
No.
And, you know, we're going to give it a shot. It's beautiful inside. I've actually walked inside before it opened. They allowed us to look around and take a couple of pictures of the rooms and stuff. It's a beautiful looking place, but, you know, whatever. I'll have some French onion soup and that'll be the end of it.
There you go. All right, what's next?
Okay, Dave, we'll stick into the Magic Kingdom. Haunted Mansion is closing for a quick, brief refurb from December 1st to December 19th. This comes hot on the heels of the announcement that the Yankee Trader, which is originally going to open in sometime in October, well, that refurb is being extended all the way to January. And the rumor is that this refurb for the Haunted Mansion is to allow them to you know, establish the technology for pictures. One of the big rumors going around is that Disney is going to have one of these, you know, photo pass pictures at the end where your hitchhiking ghost will be in your car and you can buy a picture of what you see in front of you with those last mirrors and all that kind of stuff. So apparently that might be coming starting early next year. The refurb for Yankee Trader is going to be a lot longer than originally thought.
Yeah, we've been hearing rumors about this photo stuff for quite some time now.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see it's finally coming through. So, very cool.
Continue on.
I'm excited about the. I know I shouldn't be, but I'm excited. We talked about this. I'm kind of semi-excited about the idea of the gift shop. Doesn't look like anything great to begin with, but might be some stuff in the future.
I will tell you when the first thing they did was they put a Disney Parks blog post about the merchandise. They put, you know, maybe pictures about 25 items or whatever it was, and much of them were kind of meh.
Right.
They then did recently, within the last week, they did like a little video of, you know, one of the Parks blog guys with one of the merchandise guys. They kind of went through some of the stuff. They had it on the table.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, and it was actually, you know, some of the stuff, I don't know if I would really get it, but it was a lot cooler. Like one of the things they had with plates that the on the plate itself was a floor plan of the Haunted Mansion, which I thought, I don't think I would necessarily get it, but it was kind of cool.
It's cool. I don't know why a plate, but I guess what else would you put that on?
Yeah, whatever. And they had like an interesting T-shirt that had one of the the Hatbox Ghost, actually. Right. In front of the Haunted Mansion, but it was designed as such that if you look at it from afar, it just looks like a skull on your T-shirt. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Cool.
So there was a couple of things on that particular post that I thought that gave me a little bit more hope that there might actually be some cool stuff in there. So I'm really looking forward to it as well. Hopefully they expand this out to more stuff, you know, other different attractions. We talked about this last week or the week before. But yeah, I felt a little bit better about the merchandise when I saw that post.
Cool. All right. Where do we got next?
All right, Dave. Let's go to your favorite game, and America's favorite game. That's Dave, guess the price of this.
Oh, good. Okay.
We're going to go to Epcot, Dave. Food and wine, everybody's favorite topic this time of year up until September.
Right.
Well, they're starting a brand new sort of premium event called Food and Wine Late Nights Live. Here's what you get.
Ooh.
You are in Epcot just at this, you know, from 9:45 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Wow.
So a little bit over 3 hours.
Okay.
There will be live entertainment, including a DJ. You will be able to, price included, sample 6 dishes, plus the booths in the area that you are in will be open. Now, keep in mind that it is not the entire World Showcase. It is from the United Kingdom to the World Showcase Plaza. So essentially it's the United Kingdom, Canada area, and then the front portion of World Showcase. Some of the booths that will be open included the Canada booth, Greece, Hawaii, which of course has the popular pork sliders and the desserts and champagne booth.
Okay.
Guess how much?
Okay, wait a minute.
Okay.
So you get, give me the tangibles, what you get.
Okay, you get.
You get entrance to the park for an extra 3 hours and 15 minutes.
Correct.
You get a DJ who you probably, I mean that.
They say live entertainment. I think believe there'll be band and a DJ.
Okay.
So a couple different
Shows. But probably at one of the bands that plays, right? Like, you know, one of the, you know, a local, one of the Epcot bands.
I am going to assume.
We're not talking about, you know, Aerosmith coming to play.
No, that's correct. Okay. I would assume it will be also on the United Kingdom stage. It might just be the whatever British band they have going now. I don't remember what it is.
Right. I mean, I make a joke, but during Food and Wine, they have national acts. I'm assuming it's not one of them.
Right. It's like, okay, like Flower and Garden.
Beat to the beat or whatever they call it.
Right. You get to sample six dishes.
So does a sample mean you get a dish like you would get at the regular Food and Wine, or you get a fork full of it?
That's unclear.
Unclear. Okay. So six dishes, $30. Okay.
The booths, of course, will be open in those areas, like I said.
All right. But not free.
Correct, and that's what you get.
Any alcohol?
Doesn't say anything about alcohol.
This whole thing sounds like it would cost me, I would say, samples. So you're not even getting a meal. So it's not even going to be up to the price of the Tables in Wonderland stuff. $70.
Very close, Dave. $79.
Oh, I was right in there.
You were right in there.
It's still incredibly overpriced at 70. But I was just thinking to myself, I mean, they charge people for any kind of hard ticket event that is in the park. It's $50 just off the top for the pleasure of being able to stay in the park for an extra couple of hours.
Right, right.
And if you think about that, if they charge you $90 for the whole day, but $50 mm-hmm. just for 3 hours, you're really getting hosed there. But
You know, one of the things is you have to wonder what the six dishes are. Are they full-sized food and wine? Because if they are, most of them run you about $6, I would say, $5 to $6. So that's another, I mean, that's about $30 to $35 in the value right there.
Yeah, and that's where I came up with it. I said, I figured right. $30 for that, maybe $40 just to get in, $70.
Right, right.
But I was expecting you to say $220.
No, not 220. It's not the fantasy football thing.
Right, but I was expecting something along those lines until you told me that where it was. Because where it was is very kind of, you know, I thought it would be the whole World Showcase. Then I would be saying, you know, we're up into the hundreds easily if everything's open, you know. But if it's just that little area, I mean, that's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's nothing, mm-hmm. you know. And so I was thinking of comparing it to Harambe Nights. This sounds like a heck of a lot less than that. So
right.
That's where I came up with that figure. Right. So I'm proud of myself.
Very good, Dave.
I did very well. Is that the last one?
Nope, we actually have two more because I have breaking news.
Okay, go.
I didn't even tell you about this.
All right.
The Tower of Terror debuts a new onboard video souvenir with Memory Maker and Magic Bands today. At the Hollywood Studios, if you have the Memory Maker, which is a photo package similar to the Photo Pass, but you buy you spend a certain amount of money, you get to download certain things and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Well, those guests who have the Magic Band and it with a linked Memory Maker photo package should expect to see videos of their Tower of Terror ride on your My Disney Experience app. It'll be automatically captured, edited, and uploaded to your My Disney Experience account. And this is the first attraction that is offering this type of thing. They expect the Seven Dwarves Mine Train and Haunted Mansion to be the next ones on
really?
Board.
Haunted mm-hmm. Mansion?
That's what it says.
I'm. Why would you want to look at yourself staring at a Haunted Mansion? I mean, what kind of...
I can only assume it's going to be part of that end section
where
you come around and
with
you see
the
them.
Hitchhiking ghosts, yep.
It'll probably be brief.
Yeah, gotcha. So it's not like you're going to be, they're not going to watch you just sitting there staring at the...
Right.
Okay.
Right. I don't know how they'll do the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. I guess they'll have videos on your cars. I don't even video cameras somewhere there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you
that
know
seems like an odd one.
Do you know how much this thing costs?
The memory maker, not off the top of my head because I've never really looked at it.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, this is a good tool to start. If they end up putting that on, you know, putting this on a bunch of different rides, that people will buy that. They will come.
The PhotoPass package itself, the old ones, were quite expensive.
Yeah, I know. I never bothered with them because they were ridiculous.
And these, I know it's well over $100. I'm almost positive it is.
Yeah.
Well over $100. But
We're getting into why we did the magic bands. Now we're starting to make sense.
Yeah, well, we always knew that.
Yeah. That was the breaking news?
That was the breaking news. So, I have one more thing because I know you love this topic. Frozen continues to be in the news. The Frozen Fun party at Hollywood Studios, which was supposed to end on September 1, has now been extended all the way to September 28th.
The what?
The Frozen Fun party that goes on at the Hollywood Studios. You know, where you have the Anna and Elsa parade and the fireworks at the end of the night and all that kind of stuff.
No, I didn't know any of that existed, but it's at the Hollywood Studios, so I'm not going there. So what difference does it make to me? But
by the way, Dave, not to go back to that, I just looked it up. Memory Maker is $199.
Of course. Okay.
Okay, anyway.
Right.
Back on course. The interesting sort of related story to this is Maelstrom, which we keep hearing, obviously, is going to become Frozen or whatever. Well, it might even be worse than that. Apparently, if you want to try to make FastPass Pluses for Maelstrom, you cannot do it anymore starting September 29th. Disney has not announced anything, but for people who are going in early October, they are starting to be able to make FastPasses. And starting September 29th, Maelstrom no longer becomes an option on Epcot. We have also hearing rumors from various sources, maybe not the best sources, that, you know, cast members have been told that, you know, their time is up. They'll be shipped to other areas. These are, of course, many of the sources that I've heard that were reporting this, or at least the one that I know of, was also the ones that were telling us back in January, or back in actually late last year, that come January 23rd or whatever it was, the Imagination cast members have all been told they're getting kicked out and moved around. And of course, that didn't happen.
Right.
But you're getting these rumors that the cast members are being told, you know, that, you know, all this is going bye-bye. I mean, people are starting to hear that Norway itself, the whole entire pavilion, will just become Arendelle.
Unbelievable.
A tragic mistake. But the only hard news that I can tell you right now is the Frozen Fun party for Hollywood Studios has been extended to September 28th. And coincidence or not, starting September 29th, you cannot book fast passes for the Maelstrom. I don't know what that tells you. Seems to me that it seems kind of silly that I don't know why one would be related to the other, but people are saying this. I would expect that the Maelstrom is going down for a series refurb. I mean, but to turn the whole pavilion into Norway, I mean, to Arendelle from Norway. I mean, can you imagine a map of the World Showcase and it doesn't say Norway anymore? It says Arendelle. I mean, that would just drive me up a wall. I mean, if you want to change Maelstrom over to a Frozen-based attraction, I'd hate it. But at least it's still Norway. You still have, you know, whatever. Just be awful, awful, awful.
If they are able to use these characters to tell the story of Norway like they use the Three Caballeros in Mexico, then that would be somehow acceptable, I guess, or palatable.
It would be palatable. I'm not sure if I would like it, depending on what they did.
No, I know I wouldn't, because I just wouldn't. But it's... The idea of, I mean, that, Mike, that just sounds silly to me. I mean, I know that this is picking up a lot of steam.
It is.
I'll never be surprised at the extent to which Disney goes to try to prove everybody that they've made a good film. You know, and a film that people, you know, love and adore and all the words that they use to promote them. I mean, every day I get everybody, all of us, right? We get Disney emails. We look at the Disney Parks blog. We all get this every darn day. It has something to do with this Frozen thing. And, I mean, they're just beating this into the ground. Right. You know, people are going to be sick of this soon. And then they're going to probably be just sick of it right about when this is going to open.
Yeah, it's so short-sighted. I mean, if they really do it's really, really short-sighted.
It's just plain ridiculous. But, I mean, this is the second time I'm going to say this. This is what's happening to Epcot. Epcot was one thing. It is now something completely disjointed, not like that. And it's only a matter of time before that permeates itself into the World Showcase, which has been sort of the last holdout of that theme to begin with, of the original World's Fair, the permanent World's Fair. It's just that whole idea is just going away now, and it's being replaced by a company that cannot figure out what it wants its parks to be, unless they hand it to Joe Rohde.
Well, he's not the only one, but yes.
No, Mike, I really think he is. Associated with Walt Disney World, I think he's the only one in the last 15 years that is. He's the only one that has that adherence to the theme and to the story of a park that Walt had, that the Imagineers originally had. That doesn't exist anymore, Mike. People don't have that. And I mean, only when you give it to Joe Rohde. So unless they come out and say, hey, Joe's taken over this change in Norway, until then, I'm just going to assume, like all the other stuff, it's going to be downgraded. It's going to be something that, you know, misses the mark. Because with a very few exceptions, you know, except when they throw a lot of money at it, there's a good 50-50 chance, right? You can either come up with Soarin' or we can get Mission Space.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? It's a 50-50 chance. But if they don't throw a lot of money at it, it's almost destined for failure. Especially at Epcot. I mean, all of these refurbs that have been done, I mean, I'm ranting here, but that's what's going to happen at Frozen. I mean, maybe some kids are going to love it, but 5 years from now, we're going to look back at a film that's no longer in the, you know, in everybody's mindset, and we're going to go, why is this here? Mm-hmm. Why am I walking from Mexico to China and passing that? You know, and what are they going to do? Tear the whole thing down and build something? I mean, I just don't see it. I believe it could happen because of this, you know, it's just a matter of time before they miss the mark that much. But I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I really don't. I think this is a much ado about nothing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the problem I have with it so much, I'm forgetting, you know, ruining a World Showcase, which it does and all that kind of stuff, assuming they do this. But even assuming that they just, you know, throw the Frozen characters into the maelstrom a little bit, it's like a Frozen-y kind of ride, and they keep Norway and all that kind of stuff. The problem I have with it is just the half-assedness of it. Right. Disney will go to ends to tell you that, you know, Universal, well, they won't even mention Universal, they don't talk about it, but they build Harry Potter in this great immersive environment, but, you know, we have Frozen, that's our next big franchise,
oh my
blah, blah,
God.
Blah. Well,
do they really think that?
Well, that's fine. Yeah, they do. And that's fine. Let's say they're even right. Maybe, you know, Frozen 2 is a big hit and Frozen 3 is a big hit and Frozen on Broadway is a big hit. Let's just pretend that that's true. Let's just pretend it for a moment. That people just love it.
Yeah.
Then build an immersive environment. Don't do it half-ass.
Yeah.
By taking the cheap way out and building a, you know, just redoing Maelstrom a little bit to make it more Frozen, and they can say, hey, we got Frozen over here.
Right.
Do it for real. Build, like, build the castle from the movie the other environments of the movie, the harbor and all that kind of stuff that was in the movie. Build a restaurant like Be Our Guest that people would flock to. Put it in the Hollywood Studios where it belongs. Forgetting, you know, Epcot, it doesn't belong there. But build it for real. Do it right. Don't just throw it up there at Epcot because, oh, you know, Norway stopped paying us money, so, you know, let's just put it over there. This way we can promote the hell out of it.
Right.
And only spend, you know, a tenth of what we would have to spend if we built, like, a real legit Arendelle over at Hollywood Studios. I mean, that's why they're getting the bad press and the Universal Studios that gets all the good press because they do it half-ass.
Yep. No, you're 100% right. You're 100% right. And how many of these of Disney's big hit ideas, take Pixar away, of Disney's big hit ideas has ever turned into a franchise that produces multiple great films.
Dave, I'm going to disagree with you to the extent that this is going to be a forgotten film.
No, I'm not saying forgotten.
Okay.
I'm saying that in 5 to 10 years' time, it's going to be just as remembered as all the other big hits that Disney has, like
Beauty
of which
the
they
Beast
have dozens of them.
Right.
Harry Potter has decades of books and films. I mean, this is something that's a proven generation-crossing cultural event. That's not what this is, Mike.
Right.
The that's only, not the only what
thing,
Frozen is.
Right. The only thing that Disney has with that is Star Wars.
Star Wars.
You can make the argument Marvel.
Marvel. You can
but
make
you can't, do, you, if can't you, do it in Florida anyway. But
yeah. No, you can make an argument that perhaps Toy Story is.
Yeah, okay.
You know, that's been around for a long, long time. I mean, you know, there's ones that have, you know, movies that have stood the test of time throughout all of Disney's lexicon. I mean, we know this, but that's not what this is. That's not what this is. And what they're doing, what they would do, like Mike is saying, by half-assing something with the Norway Pavilion, is building a place where they can justify a giant Frozen store in the middle of Epcot, where all the parents go with their money. That's what they're justifying. And that's what the whole point of it is. And there's no way you're talking me down on that, because that's what they're going to do. They're not going to blow it up and build what Mike's saying. They're just not going to do that. They have not invested that much money into World Showcase since it was built. They're not going to do it now just for this film, because the film's making money on its own. They don't need to put that kind of money into it.
But they don't have to put any money into World Showcase. I don't know why they're
That's
doing
I mean.
Anything.
I don't know either.
There really is no reason to touch it. It makes them a fortune.
Unless, like I'm saying, Mike, they can do something on the cheap that they think is going to sell a lot of merch.
Mm.
That's what they're going to do. That's what they do with these things. That's the MO now, right? So, can we get through an episode where I don't tell people how much I hate Frozen?
I got news for you. Next time we're on an episode, we're probably talking about what Disney announced at the Maelstrom.
That's it for the news, right?
Yeah.
Well, now that I've done my weekly anti-Frozen rant, let's take another break and come back with a little happier conversation. Coming back on Radio Harambe just a second. Welcome back to Radio Harambe. I am Dave McBride. Joining me is Safari Mike. Mike, where are you again?
I'm in Cameroon, Dave.
Cameroon. Correct. Great.
I know
cell,
it's correct. I'm there.
Get great cell connection once again. It is quite amazing.
You can thank Steve Jobs for that.
I can. let's get into our feature segment here. This week actually marked the 2-year anniversary of our website, JomboEveryone.com. It feels like 10 years, but it's only been two. But it's still a milestone nonetheless. And for the past 2 years, we've been bringing you news, reviews, and rumors from Disney's Animal Kingdom while doing our best to try and raise money and awareness for conservation. The best thing I can say is that over the 2 years, actually, as of today, we have passed the $300 mark in money that we have donated to our conservation partners.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And that's through basically just through the merchandise that we've sold. Any kind of stuff that we've done, we'll tell you more about that later. But if you go to JomboEveryone.com, see the store, click there, you'll see what I'm talking about. It's on the upper right-hand corner. But in order to celebrate the anniversary, Mike came up with the idea of kind of looking back over the past 2 years and have some highlights. Now, Mike, I thought the best way to have a highlight was to reveal to you, according to my Google stat counter, the top three most viewed posts.
Just the three?
On JomboEveryone.com. That's all you need is three.
I want five.
Now, you're only getting three. Number three was...
They're obviously all written by me, right?
No.
Okay.
Number three was, oddly enough, the news roundup for June 4th of 2014. Now, for those of you who don't know, the news roundup is a weekly column that I write where I basically just put like little paragraphs, news bites. If, you know, Mike... tells me there's a change in the menu to something here, or we get a little, you know, something that doesn't really require a whole posting. We put it in there. We also, in the news, put the schedule for the park, park hours for that week, and any,
right.
And we also keep track of stuff that's going to be closed, you know, the closures coming up. So it's all part of the news roundup. This one was from June 4th of this year. And it was all, it was just one of these news roundups. It's the only one that is even in the top 10. It included stories about the bird being fixed on Expedition Everest. It had a aerial photo of the construction area behind Mombasa that you've talked about.
I bet you that's why.
No. It had the always fun theme park attendance figures for that year.
Yeah, but that, that the photos behind the Mombasa got linked by a couple of other sites.
Oh, because people love the theme park attendant stuff. I mean, people go nuts for that.
You love it.
I love it. So that's number three, because that's where we always hear that Animal Kingdom is somehow better or higher up than Hollywood Studios. Number two is an article that you and Brooke wrote together.
Wow, we did?
Yes, called The Pleasures of Touring Disney's Animal Kingdom in the Rain.
Oh, that was a long time ago, wasn't it?
Yes, it's from August 20th of 2013. And it tells the now famous story of Buzzkill Bob, I believe.
Oh, that was right when we came back from that trip.
Yes. Yep. Yep, it's all about Buzzkill Bob, who was the... Mike, in a short version, tell us who Buzzkill Bob was again.
Buzzkill. We were staying at the Boardwalk at the time, and it was Hurricane Irene, I believe, was coming through.
I think you're right.
Now, when it was coming through, it wasn't windy or anything like that, but it was pouring rain, and it was going to be pouring rain all day. And Buzzkill Bob was an employee of the Boardwalk who came down to the bus stop to basically say, hey, everybody, don't go to the Animal Kingdom. Go to one of the other parks, like Epcot or Hollywood Studios, that's a lot more indoors, there'll be less stuff closed. And we actually contemplated doing it, but then we said, we had Yak and Yeti ADRs, so we said to ourselves, well, we'll go to the Animal Kingdom, we'll walk around, it's our favorite park, obviously we have a website to it, and so we just went, and it was great. I mean, obviously a lot of people listen to Buzzkill Bob.
Right.
He actually got kind of annoyed that we just sort of ignored it, just said to him, man, we're going to go anyway. Sort of copped a little bit of an attitude, and off we went, and we were basically by ourselves. We had a great time. Nothing was closed. In fact, oddly enough, that you mentioned that, I put on Instagram today a picture of the Yak and Yeti, and somebody, I think Scott Barnard, our friend Scott, had asked me, wow, how'd you get a picture of this place totally empty? And it was because of this. We were there, and Buzzkill Bob had gotten apparently the ear of everybody else, and we were essentially by ourselves, and it was a great day.
Whenever I hear Buzzkill Bob, I always think of John Candy in Vacation.
He didn't look like John Candy at all. This guy was...
But that's the face I have, is John Candy coming out from behind the moose.
This guy was a skinny little guy.
And are you ready for...
With a clipboard.
Are you ready for number one?
Sure.
The number one... I wonder, should I make you try to guess? Do you even have a guess?
I'm going to guess.
Go ahead.
I'm going to guess the article I wrote about Blackfish.
No, but that was in the top 10. Number one is, and the date's going to give it away, April 1st, 2013. This is number one by a large margin, Mike.
Really?
Yes. Like, most of these posts are the top five or all within a few, within 100 hits of each other. This one far beyond. And it was the one you wrote called Kevin the Snipe Coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom.
Wow, I can't believe that was our biggest, it's weird
let me explain something.
Sure.
Most of the analytics for these kind of things, most of the stats for blogs are really incorrect, because what most people do is they come to the front page of the blog and they read through it right there on the front page and rarely ever click all the way through. And if the article is small enough where it doesn't, where you're not encouraging a click through, you can read it right on there, then this has to be somebody actually clicking through or finding a link. So this is really more about the sort of viral nature of how these things work on Twitter. So Kevin the Snipe coming to Disney's Animal Kingdom. Your April Fool's joke for 2013.
I know most of our listeners don't know this, but we had a website before Jumbo Everyone called Mouse Extra.
Right.
And certainly the one that had by far the biggest amount. Oh, no. Actually, it was not. I think the one where I ranted and raved about the marathon. I think that was our number one post. But number two was when I did the April Fool's joke about a strip club coming to Pleasure Island. I got a lot of traffic on that particular post. So I guess people like April Fool's jokes. I don't know.
So the
oddly enough, Dave, not to interrupt you, but oddly enough, the subsequent April Fool's joke I did that had to do with the walk around old cheesy looking dinosaur characters coming back. Right. Actually got picked up by a news, a Disney news that will remain nameless as like a legit story. And was running for it. I thought it was hysterical.
Yeah, it was good.
Jumbo Everyone's running this story. It was great.
Yeah. The reason why I only did three is because after you get past number three, all the other ones are really kind of close.
What's four?
Four was, without clicking through to it, four was, I believe, the news broken about the Rivers of Light. When we posted an article linking back to the hipsters breaking that news. And I believe also in there somewhere was a few of the sort of Imagineering things, like the stuff about talking, our ideas for putting into the night, a nighttime thing. I think there was a couple of the new Festival of the Lion King or new Harambe ones in there, that kind of stuff. There was a review of some kind. Oh, you know what the review was? The review was of Wilderness Explorers.
Oh, by Meg Stump? The guest writer one?
Yes.
Yeah, that was Meg.
Yeah.
Wrote that for
which
her.
She did very early in the life of the Wilderness Explorers.
She was, in fact, she did it the first day and was the first person, I think, to have, in all of Disney World, to have completed, her and the person she was with, to complete all, whatever it was, 32 of them and got the badge at the end. So, yeah, she's a, she did do it right off the bat.
Yeah, that was probably number six or seven, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and there was some stuff. There was way. I think there was one about Avatar too, and kind of stuff.
Gotcha.
So, but the top three, those, especially Kevin the Snipe, that's way beyond. Like Kevin the Snipe probably had more hits than the combined 6 through 10. Like that many more.
Wow.
Like number six probably had a quarter of the hits that Kevin the Snipe had.
I don't know if that means people thought it was funny or people.
I think it means that
really believed it.
People really believed it, and it went viral. That's what I believe.
And for people who haven't read it, and I encourage you to go back. I pretended that we had heard that they were going to build an audio animatronic of Kevin the Snipe, and have a pretend exhibit for him on Discovery Island. When you think about it, it would actually be awfully cool.
It was believable. That's why it went. Yes. That's why it was good. It was believable,
as opposed to the strip club on Pleasure Island.
Right, that was very unbelievable. So, what we wanted to do, Mike and I wanted to just give you a couple of our favorite highlights from the last 2 years, things that we're really kind of either proud of or that we really enjoyed doing. Mike, what is your first highlight from the last 2 years of writing for JumboEveryone.com?
Well, Dave, I like to do the. I like when we break news. We were one of the first people on the whole Mombasa marketplace. Behind Mombasa, I should say, being in food and stuff. Although that news has not been official by Disney by any means, but we were the first to jump on that. But I was the first person by at least a week to report that Dole Whips were coming to the Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
Nobody else had it. I had it, and that was when we break news like that. That's fun to be the first person out there to report that kind of stuff. I mean, it's certainly not earth shaking like the Rivers of Light,
right?
And the hipsters, but it's fun to do that kind of to get that kind of scoop.
You'll see through my highlights that I'm been into the sort of series that we do. And the first one that I really enjoyed, and this was sort of a learning experience for me, was Mike and I did sort of a combined effort on a 5-part series back in September of last year, mm-hmm. called The Story of Harambe, where I did a couple of articles. Parts 1 and 2 were actually the sort of the real history of Eastern Africa. And that I did, and then Mike did this extensive 3-part sort of history of the town of Harambe.
Right.
And to me, that was, especially you've done many, many of these sort of spotlights on the history of an area or the theme upon the area. That one I thought people really, really enjoyed, and it was a lot of fun to do.
Yeah, you know, I'm particularly proud of that particular one for one very important reason. That was because the genesis of it was not so much a blog post. It was somebody who actually works in Harambe in a, at the time a somewhat managerial position.
Right.
Reached out to me and asked me if I could put together sort of a little history so that she could tell the staff, because Disney has sort of cut back on, really giving staff members, who work in like the restaurants and stuff, sort of a historical background. So she asked me, when I had a chance to just to give her kind of like a little thumb scale that, she can teach her people there. And of course, I took that and like ran with it so we could have like a whole big, at least I did the fictional one and you did the real one.
Yeah.
But the fact that, an actual employee of Disney wanted me to help them out with sort of the background of what Harambe's like was an honor and a pleasure.
That was very cool. That's true. I forgot that that's how that all came about, but that was very cool. So what's your next highlight?
I'll talk sort of along the similar things because I love doing that kind of research in terms of the history of Animal Kingdom. We talk about it all the time, but I really enjoyed putting together the Restaurantosaurus one, which was a couple of parts, and just talking about that one restaurant. Somehow I made, basically about 10 paragraphs of information on just this restaurant and its backstory. There is no restaurant that I can think of in all of Disney World that has a backstory and theme as detailed as Restaurantosaurus. So it was a lot of fun to put that sort of together.
And that was really the reaction of readers. They're like, what?
Yeah, you don't realize it.
Nobody does. Yeah.
Yeah, you read that and then you walk through it and you see it.
Yeah, yeah. My next one is right around the 15th anniversary, which was 2013. We did a series called DAK at 15. And basically what Mike and I did was went through our archives of photographs. We found a lot of them that we scanned from our first trip. Mike was there in October of 98. I was there in the spring of 99, right before its first year. Mm-hmm. And we had a lot of pictures. Mike had some things from attractions that aren't there anymore, I believe. The attractions with different names and animals in different places and that kind of stuff. And that was really kind of cool to go back through all those old pictures. The one that I liked that I found in my archives was from the old March of the Artimals parade, the original parade that was there. Some of the costumes in that that have long since been forgotten. But I found a few of those, and Mike had some from, I think it was the Dinosaur Jubilee, Mike? And you had one in? Yeah. So it was cool to go back in the archives and find our own sort of images from those.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next one?
Oh, Dave, speaking of sort of lost things, I like to do, there's a couple of series that I've tried to do, like theme spotlights on specific things and my Safari Mike things. But I enjoy kind of researching kind of like lost. We call them the lost DAC files. And that's the stuff that, almost made it or, maybe was just very preliminary artwork, not artwork, but concepts. Obviously the big one is the Beastly Kingdom. In fact, we did a whole podcast on the Beastly Kingdom with Josh from Modern Mouse Radio. I enjoyed just kind of digging around and researching that and putting together some of the aspects, like the unicorn maze. I did a whole big thing about the unicorn maze from Lost DAC file. So I would say that that whole entire series, just I enjoy doing that. And, I got to start doing some more. It's been a little while since I've done one.
Yeah. And we also have had plans since we began this podcast to incorporate that in some way in one of these feature sections of the podcast as well. So hopefully we'll get to that soon. But there are some fascinating ideas for and not just Beastly Kingdom. There's a few others, too, that he's done. So you can go in there and find those. Just search Lost DAK files in the search engine there, and you'll come up with all of them. And there's some really neat ones there, including some great concept art that's been just out there and about on the Internet for years.
Right.
My favorite thing to do at the Animal Kingdom, my absolute favorite thing to do, actually, is I talk about the drinking and all this kind of stuff, that, you know, the rides. But my favorite thing actually really to do is to sit there and photograph the animals and the beauty of the park itself. And I always put aside one day where I walk in and with just my camera, and I usually go by myself and just take a few hours where I'm just sort of camping out in front of certain animal habitats and stuff and trying to get great photographs. I've had varying levels of success with that over the years, but I try to put the best ones on a new blog that we actually just put out called the Disney Photo Safari, which you'll find going to johnboeveryone.com. You'll see the Photo Safari link. Before we changed the website, which only a few months ago, we actually redesigned the whole thing and put it on a whole different platform, I used to have a huge section of the website devoted to just photographs. And I've always, because I have this web, because we have this website, it has given me this joy of doing this. And, that is certainly one of my, my favorite things to do. And I'm hoping that in a couple of weeks' time, I'll have a couple of hundred more of these to put up. So what else you got?
Dave, the last one that I thought of was actually one of the more recent ones, and one of the ones I actually put a lot of effort in. Whenever I put a lot of effort in something, I get kind of proud of it. And that is, we sort of talked about this at the beginning, sort of the Imagineering kind of ideas. And I came up with an idea. We've talked about my love of the Mystic Manor at Hong Kong Disneyland. Well, one of the things about Mystic Manor is that Lord Mystic is a member of SEA, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers. And there's kind of like this story that runs along some of the Asian parks. There's also a SEA member in terms of the Tower of Terror over at Tokyo Disney Sea. So I thought, how cool would it be if they kind of link that to Animal Kingdom as well? And I came up with this whole idea of, incorporating another mystical animal like the Yeti, in this case, the river dragon, the Nami Nami from Africa, which it was like this protector one of the rivers that was dammed. And I had this thought of a member of the Society of Explorers and Adventurers having this little home along this lazy river and not far from Harambe. So that's where it would be. I kind of designed the central character itself a little bit after Raleigh Crump, because for people who know, the character in Tokyo Disney Sea Hotel is actually sort of designed after Joe Rohde. So they kind of, incorporate kind of these homages to Imagineers. So I would have done it here. And I just had this idea of this water ride. It would be kind of a thrill ride where you would encounter the river dragon as he kind of, licks his wounds from losing the battle of nature, and the, having the dam being built, and now he's forced to live in this sort of secluded area of nowhere in this lazy little river. And it would just be a thrill ride combined with this a lot of detail that Animal Kingdom's so good at. And I put together a big long thing, and it got quite a lot of hits. I think you said it was one of the top ones. I'm very proud of I did some research on it and looked into the Nyami Nyami and the legend of it and all that kind of stuff. So it was a lot of fun to put together.
And the final one for me actually is one that I think kind of incorporated both of us. I'm not sure if Brooke wrote an article for this. Something tells me that she did. But one of the things that we did during the 15th anniversary was what we called the top 10 reasons we love Disney's Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And we each took like a, one. I'll write this one, you write that one. And we did 10 separate articles all leading up to the actual anniversary date. And on the 10 things we like the best. Now, for instance, I'll read them to you. The number 10, we'll go from 10 to 1. 10 is the hidden paths of Disney's Animal Kingdom. Mm-hmm. One, something we talk about all the time. 9 was the best counter service in Walt Disney World. 8 is the best live entertainment. 7 is the Tree of Life, which we called one amazing icon. Number 6 was the best cast members. Number 5 is the Animal Kingdom Lodge. Number 4 was Kilimanjaro Safaris, which you wouldn't think would end up all the way down at number 4. Number 3 was conservation, how much we love the work that they do there and the awareness that they build. Number 2 was the details of the park, which really makes it what it is. And number 1 was animals, the animals of the park. And I wonder, Mike, looking back a year later, did we leave anything out? Should we move something around? I mean, I wonder if that they still seem all right where they belong to me.
Yeah, I think so.
And that went on for a month. We did about 2 a week leading up to probably between March and leading up to April of last year. So having said all that, I do suggest that you go and explore the blog a little bit. I'm not the greatest at labeling articles, so it may be a little cumbersome to view through all this. But there's a lot of stuff in the Lost DAK files. There's a lot of theme spotlights. Mike does a theme spotlight. If you just Google theme spotlight. And I'll give you a little hint. In the not-too-distant future, you're going to be able to find many of these things all in one place. But we're going to have more on that. And it's going to be a matter of a few weeks yet before we start talking about that. But that's a new project coming. Mike, anything you want to say about the 2 years before we wrap up?
No, I think you covered it. I mean, some of the other things I enjoy is doing, like, the Safari Mics. I haven't done those in a while. And I do like the fact that we've incorporated some other people from the Disney community. I mean, Scott Campbell has done some pictures for us that are terrific.
Yep.
We had an ex-cast member, Michelle, who worked at the Pocahontas, who did an Extinct DAC Files for us. And
yeah, that was a great one, yeah.
And we talked about Meg Stump and Kevin Crossman and Danielle Perry, who have written some stuff for us. And I think we'll have probably more people kind of guesting and doing that kind of stuff. So I do enjoy that too.
Yeah, we've had a lot of people help out over the years. And Kevin Crossman did a Wild Africa Trek thing.
That was early on too.
Yeah, it was very early on. Kevin's one of the very first supporters of and really the first person to sort of help get the word out of the blog. Uh-huh. And he's been, he's somebody we always like to thank whenever we get a chance, because he really did do helped us out right from the beginning. And a lot of people have come along since, and there's going to be more in the future. So keep checking back, jomboeveryone.com. Thanks once again for listening. Let me remind you to check out our store on said website, jomboeveryone.com. If you go to the homepage, you'll see right on the right-hand side a little nice line there, and it says Shop Our Store, Shop and Help Save Wildlife. You go there, you see all the stuff that we're selling. All the profits we make off everything we do there is going to our conservation partners. There's some great stuff, some handmade, what we call Marathi bracelets. We still have one Warden Wilson Air Rangers t-shirt left. As of the sound of my voice, I have one left. It is an extra large. If you want it, you can have it. For $25, that includes shipping in the continental United States. Once that one is gone, there will be no more. You can also find a link to our Zazzle store, where you can find some great designs, including the Not a Half Day Park t-shirt, which is really the one everybody buys now.
Is that true?
Yeah. I might as well just take everything else off and just sell that. Also, please visit a conservation page while you're there. See how we can all help save wildlife. Don't forget to subscribe to the show on iTunes. You can also find us on Twitter. I am at Radio Harambe. I need you all to follow me there and get me over the 1,000 followers mark.
What are you up to?
I'm up to 800, in the upper 800s. So we need to get up there to over 1,000. Safari Mike, you don't need to know what his is because you're probably following him already. Certainly everybody else does. But he's at Jombo, everyone. We're also on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Pinterest. All those links are on the homepage. So that'll do it. For Safari Mike, I'm Dave McBride. Thanks for sticking with us for 2 years on the website. Quaharini, go
hey,
well. Yes?
Maybe we should announce that since we're going to be in Disney.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
I'm thinking Thursday, that would be the 21st.
Yeah.
will probably be at the Sanaa Bar around 9 o'clock. So if anybody wants to come over and say hello, feel free. I'll probably put this on Twitter.
Sanaa? But, we're going to go to?
I think so. Okay. I don't know. Follow me on Twitter and one of the two bars, either that or Victoria Falls. I'll put something up there.
So, yeah, so go to the Twitter account for Mike at JonBoEveryone.com and you'll find that. And that'll be only a few days after this, so.
Yeah, right?
All right, folks. Quiet, Rini. Go well. Thank you for listening to Radio Harambe.